Most I know about engineering is like to hit my TV when it stops working.
My ship works better when I kick it. Hi, everybody. I'm Faith.
I'm Lewis.
And I'm MJ.
And welcome back to and welcome back to Ramblin' Ramblers. Today we have a guest speaker. It's MJ. He's a pretty cool guy.
Hi, MJ.
Hi, Lewis.
And this is the guest speaker we alluded to in the previous episode. So,
that was simply the best.
Oh, it really was. It was simply the best. Just the best. So with that, MJ, why don't you take the floor and tell us a little bit about yourself?
So, yeah, I'm MJ. I'm 20. I've been playing, like, TTRPGs for maybe, like, at least 2 years. I haven't kept, like, the day exactly. I've played predominantly...
Just the wind down of Corona, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, predominantly 5e. That's the system I have the most experience in. But I do have kind of like my feet in lots and lots of systems at the moment, like between like Fist, a little bit of 3.5, and the topic of the hour, DCC, of course. Oh, and M&M.
Your stable game. Don't forget that.
I like it. It's fun. It's kind of like... Like, I run it because it's awesome. But it's, like, because I only run it, it's kind of, like, in a separate part of my mind, I guess.
So, I'll be perfectly honest, I never gave Mutants and Masterminds a second look because it's not really the genre that I'm specifically interested in.
Yeah,
but just with you passingly mentioning odds and sods about it, I'm definitely going to give it a look.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly join one night if I can, but if not a one shot or something.
Oh yeah,
it looks pretty interesting that you can just pretty much you can freeform build pretty much anything.
Yeah, that's the biggest strength of the system. Like pretty much anything you want to be, you can be it. Like if there's something you like in a different system, there's probably a way you can build in M&M. And even though M&M is structured around like the superhero genre, there's definitely some room in there. And I definitely think, like, it's not a game you play if you're looking for, like, deadly stuff, because it's built around superfiction, and as we know, because of money, superheroes never die.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, storytelling, and also just giving the player freedom, is probably one of, like, the strongest systems. Like, it's definitely along the lines of, like, 3.5. Though I'd say baseline, just with core rule books, it's probably got more freedom than 3.5, simply just as classless systems often are.
They do normally trade off with that, because I found that with Shadowrun as well, that the trade-off is that it's a little bit more complex.
Yeah.
At least from the offset, because at least when you play a class system, you choose your race block, and then you stack on top of that your class block, and then you stack on top of that. Well, that's it for 3.5, to be perfectly honest. You slap a feat on the side of it and you're good to go.
Yeah.
But when you're having to pick and choose literally everything, you have to pick and choose from literally everything.
I do feel like the fact that M&M is superhero fiction does make it a lot easier, because if you're looking at fantasy, like, and whatnot, it's sort of like you don't really know what you want necessarily, because you're like, oh yeah, I want my guy to be good at tripping. So now I gotta search through all of this material to find the stuff that will make this work.
Why is trip always our go-to example?
Same reason fire planes is always our go-to example.
That's because they're cool, Faith.
I know.
We've already done this joke.
So it's like we've done that joke to death, I swear. But
it burns like the plane of fire.
I'm gonna derail you guys off of Mutants and Masterminds and put us back on the DCC train.
Well, yeah, we've got all the wrong letters here.
This is my job. I'm gonna do it.
I'll just finish up what I was saying. Like, the point I was getting to was that essentially, if someone comes up to you and they're like, "Oh yeah, I want to be able to take punches to the face and be indestructible," well then it's just like, "Oh yeah, you just take impervious toughness." It's just really simple, because the line between trying to grab all the mechanics and what stuff you actually like, the fantasy, is a lot thinner than in some other systems I've seen. But yeah, that's what
that was the thing I felt about it, because I did compare it to Shadowrun earlier, but that's not entirely fair, because Shadowrun is really gritty and very, very dense. But Mutants of Mastermind is a lot lighter looking.
I'd agree with that.
I'm going to have to have you hold my hand through it at one point, I think, for sure.
Don't worry, I've held the hand of like every single player I've had.
It's the pain of not being like one of the big three systems, isn't it?
So yeah. So the vibe I'm getting here is MJ's going to be our one-shot guy. We just do one-shots with MJ.
Okay.
No, I mean, that is my title, and I will fiercely defend it.
No, you're the funnel man.
Faith, I've started doing one-shots for Lancer as well.
Oh, God.
There's a spiral occurring. Apparently, I have a problem.
Well, apparently, MJ's giving you a run for your money.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Someone's going to have to take the title of one-shot man.
I would love to run a one-shot for you guys for M&M. Like, I just love to see what sort of superheroes you guys would come up with. That's part of the fun. It's like, what does this person want to be?
I mean, that's the great thing. We've already got our DCC group, and if you wanted one night...
I know Asura would do that.
I can try and figure that out. It would probably have to, like, because it does, the problem with M&M, now I'm getting on to the negative, is that it is very heavy in the setup, just because, like, I mean, this might just be because I'm being too, like, roly about it, like, but every, like, enemies function on the same rules as player characters, so putting together enemies takes a while. Especially when you go to make like three or five of them. Like,
oh yeah, I remember you talking about this.
Yeah, so then between like having a Saturday game and a Sunday game, it would be quite a lot to set up. But I mean, if we did it pretty far in advance, I could probably work between them, especially if I was doing something different, something lighter for the Saturday game. But I mean, yeah.
I'm sure there's like pre-runs out there somewhere, even if they're community done.
I haven't actually seen any pre-writs. I tried looking them up.
I think we're being railroaded.
Yeah, yeah. The conductor has taken over this train.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. DCC, the thing that exists. Sorry.
Yeah.
How long have you been playing DCC, MJ? A
few months, I suppose. I mean, Pope was the one who got me into it. I'm sure they will give you the story about that at some point. But I rolled up a warrior. It was in a one-shot. One shots are deadly, so they immediately died. Died like a warrior. And then came back.
Did you immediately die, or did you try and fight a crocodile on its home turf in the dark?
Hey, that crocodile had it coming.
That's true.
I don't know, man. If you were trying to touch, I mean, if you were trying to fight it in its home turf, it was clearly in self-defense.
True. Castle rules. Whatever they are.
Yes.
Well, anyway. Whatever they are when they pertain to obelisks that arise out of a lake.
Yeah. They woke up from dying to a crocodile because it was just a dream. .exe. And then they became the most neutral warrior to ever exist. They just want money.
I mean, that's an utterly valid backstory as far as I'm concerned.
It is. It just makes me laugh because of how simple it is. It's like Elizabeth, my other one. Just the lizard person. That's just it. A lizard person named Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. So I actually have two. So for the others listening, I actually have so many player characters in our regular DCC game that I've split the group into two teams. There's like an away team and a home team. And that's working pretty well, I think. It's given them a decent amount of time to recharge. It's not completely overwhelming people with 101 things to remember all the time, having to juggle two characters and whatnot. And MJ, I let be my guinea pig to see how well Mutant Crawl Classics characters work in DCC. And I don't think you've actually done much to...
No, not really. I just sort of... So basically what happened last time is we were following a big old weird demon that our wizard man had summoned to like protect a thing, but the demon thing was like, no, I'm betraying you because you're a cringe wizard and I'm dealing with your sister.
Word for word how it went.
So then they ran through the sewers, and then that's when my lizard lady got introduced, and then we
started singing "Hooked on a Feeling."
Yeah,
that's where it was. They were talking about this the other day, and I just completely drew a blank to when the shenanigans were that had the entire party singing a song.
Right. So what happened was, while we were hunting down this demon, we ran into these sewer-dwelling, you know, the sewer-dwelling culture, and they started chanting. And Lewis was like, "Wooka, wooka, ooka, wooka, ooka," and I'm just like, "Can't stop this feeling." And then everybody else joined in after that. Yes.
It's like a...
Full 5 minutes. God.
What's the... It's like Sweet Caroline. Like when it starts, you can't stop.
Yeah.
We got so many eye rolled gifts out of that. It was great.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about Del broadly.
Yeah. Yes. The warrior.
Yes.
The paper planes lady herself.
I love Del.
Del Skeleton. Yes. She's got a title as well.
Yeah, she got a title.
Wait, what's her title?
Skeleton.
Nice. Oh, that's right, because she speaks lizard person.
Yeah, those people were like, "We dub you Skeleton, Giga Chad."
That was so cool.
Yeah, it was. Basically, there was going to be a lizard folk complication in a dungeon, but MJ just happened to have lizard folk as is one of his languages, and he was just like, "Bruh, could you not?" They didn't. And it turned out that they ended up having a mutual enemy deeper in the dungeon. And the lizard folk were like, "Oh, bet we would have killed you guys only to get murked by this shit. So you're cool with us, bruh."
Yeah.
The part Again, that I assure everyone this is exactly word for word how it happened. Yeah. 100%.
The part that makes me laugh is how two-faced Dale was being for that entire interaction.
Oh, yeah.
Like she would speak to the lizard folk and be like, "Oh, yeah, like, we can help you deal with all that stuff." And then she would turn back to the party, speak in common, and be like, "Hey, we could just, like, totally go in and steal their shit and then come back out and make, like, double the coin if we have to come back and kill these lizard people, too."
Don't solve a problem before it arises with a payment.
Oh, man.
I just got a pure stonks mindset.
It was pretty great, though, considering like the fact that Del was able to dispel that tension, given that like so many lizard people got stabbed.
Yeah, that was the part. Like, we
Thumpkin stabbed a lot of lizard people.
We go into the cave, and then immediately our two sort of factions just start like killing each other. And then eventually it's just like, wait, we don't need to kill each other. And then everybody just sort of like crosses eyes, looks at one another, and then goes, fighting. This is kind of stupid.
Yes.
Shakes hands, walks away.
What is your favorite thing about playing Dallas Warrior?
Okay.
Aside from the roleplay.
Yes.
So, we did go over warriors quite briefly in the last episode. So feel free to go into some details on some of these things.
So specifically, their main feature, the deed dice, is just the best part. Because like so it gives you an extra attack and extra damage, which is fine. That's like it's not the part that makes it awesome.
Yeah,
it's just like this is just the cherry on top, but the part that makes it like just feel so crunchy is just the mighty deeds and just being able to do badass shit for free every turn. And it's just like it really brings that up, that fantasy of it just being a warrior just tearing through enemies, or just I don't know, doing a backflip and cutting off heads and whatnot. That like most people just have in their head that they want to do in basically any system ever that has this kind of archetype. But I think DCC, despite doing it super simply, manages to just capture that so perfectly, and it really gives you that feeling that you want just basically anyway. And I think it captures it better than basically any other system I've played, simply while still being incredibly simple. And that's what makes them so fun, at least to me.
Now I want to play a warrior.
Honestly, I've always been a big... we've gone over this in half a dozen of these bloody episodes, but your basic vanilla fighter has always been a favorite from mine, and when I was looking at it in DCC for the first time, I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
The other thing I really like about it is, because I came out of third edition, really, and if you wanted to be a trip master, as you said, you have to invest a lot of feats into that, and fighter specifically is fine with this, because you get so many feats. You can be a trip fighter and a grapple fighter and a disarm fighter and a. But if I remember correctly, a level 6 fighter has the same feats as a level 20 barbarian.
Yeah.
So, like, use that as a frame of reference here. The fighter by level 6 has one thing that they're good at, and they've started to dip into a second one. If the barbarian wanted to follow the same suit, he would be over level 15 before he's like really finished. Mm. Which basically means for the entire time you're playing that barbarian, you are trip barbarian. And that's all really fun and cool until you come across oozes or just anything that doesn't require legs. And then your entire feat progression is just null and void.
Yeah.
Whereas with the DCC deed dice, there's nothing to null and void.
Yeah, it's just like anything you can think of. And as long as the GM allows it, you can do it. And there's very few things that you say no on as long as you're being reasonable and sticking within the fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can only suspend your disbelief so far with certain things, even in a fantasy setting.
It's like, I just imagine the scene in the Hobbit movies where like Legolas is like going up the CGI stairs.
God.
The GM is like, oh yeah, roll your deed dice. And it's like, oh yeah, I want to go up the stairs and they're collapsing. And he's like,
that's absolutely the bullshit that you can pull with it.
Yes. Now, if he wanted to surf back down them, would that...
On a field, perhaps?
Yes, while shooting arrows.
I'd say that was an easier deed to accomplish.
But I mean, while they're collapsing.
Oh, while they're collapsing as well. Well,
yeah, like after he's gone up the collapsing stairs, can he surf back down them?
He would be going the correct direction of the bricks this time, rather than uphill on a falling brick staircase, which is super cool, but it's absolute bonkers fantasy trope type. It's not a trope, but it is. Like, a lot of people miss it in the first movie. Before they go to the Mines of Moria, they are all trudging through the snow on the side of a mountain pass. Except Legolas, who isn't even leaving a footprint. Because elves, apparently, are just too light to break the surface of snow. So his weight was established in an older movie that happened later chronologically. And actually in a film where his character existed. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh, God, and we're getting into spicy territory now.
Well, we... Yeah, we this is what we do. We go on tangents. And it's usually Lord of the Rings related. And that's why we have a Lord of the Rings meme channel. So, you know.
As there should be.
Yes.
Specifically Lord of the Rings.
But yeah, so the D-Dice system, I love every aspect of it. The fact that you're getting this variable bonus to attack is pretty potent, because every other class at level one has a plus zero. Maybe elves get a plus one. I can't remember them all offhand, I'm afraid. But you're starting with a D3, and a D3 is greater than one. And your progression goes up until you get to 10th level. I believe it's a D10 plus four. Which means that in addition to your strength and presumably the magic items you've got at this point, you've got a 4 and a D10 to the attack roll. And then there's the second half of that where that D10 is bonus damage on your hit, because just warriors hit harder by virtue of being the guy in the front, right?
Yeah, it's so good. It makes you feel like such a powerhouse. Like, you're not like the level 20 wizard who's like, or like level 10, because it's DCC, who's like bringing down the sun falling. Like, you're not getting these insanely high peaks from doing a million spell burn or whatever, but you're just always just trudging through.
Just badass every day.
Yeah, just constantly just at it, just that consistency. And it's just...
Wake up, badass. Brush teeth, badass. Waffle, badass.
You know, it feels Brian like egg. To me, though, because I've played a little bit of 5th edition, not a whole heck of a lot, but it feels like you have to work extra hard in like being a fighter in 5th edition. But as a paladin, you could be, you know, the powerhouse, like right off the bat. In DCC, you're already better than that paladin because of the deep dice. But that's just my take. I haven't done like a whole heck of a lot in DCC. I haven't done a whole heck of a lot in 5th edition.
Do you mean like...
But the differences are visible enough to me to see that a DCC powerhouse is a lot more easily attained than in Dungeons & Dragons, even in 5th edition.
When you say paladin, do you mean like cleric? Because like, no. Doesn't DCC not have a paladin?
No, they don't have paladins, but it's the closest approximation to early powerhouse that I could think of.
All right.
Because fighters get the shaft in 5th edition DCC, or 5th edition D&D, but paladins seem to be like the golden child. And they have all this smite damage, you know?
Yeah, paladins are incredibly beefy in 5e. Like, they're arguably the strongest weapon user in the game. Arguably. Because then you get people say rangers are a better weapon user. And it kind of like, it depends who you ask, because it's like, yeah, paladins have more support, but then they really need their charisma. So they're not necessarily better weapon users. They're just sort of, they can weapon use. So it gets dicey.
Actually, is another interesting thing, because DCC uses a different stat reliance than the traditional D&D does.
Right.
And when I say traditional, I mean Watts era. Watts era is very hard on the 4d6, drop the lowest, and arrange as you like, whereas DCC is 3d6 straight down like the TSR era D&D was. So you need to have a decent charisma and to have a decent strength and also a not terrible dexterity to be a decent paladin.
Paladins are mad lads.
Right?
You see what I did there?
I'm wrong with MJ because my 5e experience is dwindling with every passing minute.
So 5e, not everyone is going to say this because I'm a spice take ever, but I think rolling for stats in 5e is kind of moronic, because most people, if you roll terrible, they're gonna be like, oh yeah, you can re-roll, or it's like you roll godlike and then it's like, oh, this person's godlike. And because nobody dies in 5e, because it's not like an OSR system where like you're probably gonna die simply by virtue of how a lot of these games work. Like, it's expected your character will die.
It's not an OSR exclusive thing. It's a 5e predominant thing.
So yeah, as I was saying, like, because 5e isn't really designed with it being intentional for the characters die. Like, characters can die. I'm sure someone will be like, oh yeah, my character died in X. Like, I've had characters die, it does happen. But most of the time, characters don't die. And
I call this the whack-a-mole mechanic.
Yeah.
Because you drop to zero, you pass out, someone comes along, gives you a healing word for a D4 plus who gives a shit. You're then fully functioning, and then you get popped again for more than 1d4 plus who gives a shit, and you go back down, and then you come back up, then you go back down, and you come back up. And it
plus there's this death saving throws.
And then you have Revivify, and then you have Raise Dead, and then you have True Resurrection.
Yeah, those are staples from back in the day, though there were costs associated with that.
Well, so, Revivify is the game changer, though.
Yeah.
Because that's
super cheap, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 300 gold pieces, and you get it at third level. So it's like way sooner than Raise Dead, which I believe in all editions is like a fifth level spell, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you're about right, 4 or 5.
Yeah, so like, you're not getting that spell until way later, but Revivify is like, basically, as soon as the game gets difficult, when you get that power level leap, where everybody gets extra attack, and you get your third level spells like Revivify, and all of that stuff.
Conversely, DCC is kind of designed around your character dying.
Yeah, that's the great part about it.
Really, what I wanted to talk about with stats was actually also related to the deed dice thing. Because DCC runs from a -3 mod to a +3 mod, you don't necessarily need to have a good strength to be a good fighter.
Exactly. Like, you can roll godlike, and it's like, oh, awesome, I've got these cool rolls, but it's not like you roll bad. It's not like my character is literally unplayable, DM. Please let me re-roll.
Yeah, like, worst case scenario, like, there will occasionally be a character who gets like a 3 in something important. Like, you weed them out in the funnel.
Yeah.
So I am absolutely of the mind that if you had a -1 to your strength, and that's what, 8, 7, or a 6? So a 6 strength, that would be a -1.
I don't think it's a -1 if it's an 8. I think it's a 7. Because maybe?
Well, I think
somebody
it's
pull out a player's handbook.
It's fine. The point is, you can be strength 6, and that gives you a -1 modifier, and with the deed dice, you're not a terrible fighter. You're still doing so much work because of the deed dice, mostly. Sure, you're 5% lower on your dice rolls, but the deed dice more than makes up that 5% of awesomeness. If you get a 14 or an 18 or whatever in your strength, definitely bigger improvement, but you're not crippled or hindered by having rolled a 6 on your strength.
Yeah.
Whereas, again, like with the 5th edition paladin, you need to have like at least a 12 in strength.
Yes.
Like,
I mean,
you could get by with, I don't know, because the ACs are kind of higher in 5th edition.
You really need a 15 minimum for heavy armor.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you have like a, because otherwise you're going to be wanting a 14 at least for your dexterity. But I guess you can get away with a low strength because you can wear heavy armor and just take a -5 speed penalty.
Oh, that's totally what I would do. But I'm totally the kind of person that would make one of the required stats a dump stat just for character building.
Oh, you disgust me.
Yeah, so we're already like discussing how to mad assign a paladin versus, yeah, just like, you could have 6 in all your stats as a warrior in DCC, and then it would end up probably just being a plucky story of this guy who really wants to try.
It's just like this
is try hard.
It's not like the Dragon Ball. It's like the Dragon Ball Z thing. I can't remember, like, the dude. I only really know it through memes, I'm gonna be honest. But he's just like, I am the best.
Is that the heart meme?
I don't. Oh god! Someone will tell me at some point. Whatever. Just like, I am the best. I do. Really have an ego that big? I was like, yes, because it's true. With a 6 in all stats.
I know even less Dragon Ball Z than you, I'm afraid.
Yeah, then he just And then I imagined like this character, this hypothetical character that has nothing to do with the reference I was making. It's just like, I am the best. And then he dies in like the most pathetic way possible, despite having these god stats.
Yeah, so are there any other things that you want to talk about the warrior? Because you were really enamored with it when you first onboarded with us.
Yeah, because it's just, I mean, I don't think there's much you can say. It's just, it's simple and it's effective and it fits the fantasy perfectly. Just feels so good.
Yeah.
Like,
that actually sits really well with what I was hoping to hear, to be honest.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, if you get the chance to play it, like, just play it. Like, because you can't, like, you've got to experience it to just know how good it feels, especially if you've played some other systems where, like, warriors can feel a bit mid sometimes.
Yeah. So I'm just now thinking of it. Do you guys know the engineering adage? I forget who said it. An engineer knows when he's achieved perfection, not when there's nothing else to add, but when there's nothing left to take away.
I've heard that. I've heard that.
Most I know about engineering is like to hit my TV when it stops working.
My ship works better when I kick it.
And I feel that adage is exemplified by DCC overall.
Oh yeah.
Particularly with the warrior, though. Because instead of adding in all these like subclasses and extra feats and all sorts, they've just replaced all that with the mighty deeds in action, the mighty deeds of arms.
Yeah.
And like on top of that, you get a better critical hit rate than everyone else. Better critical table to give better results.
Once again, it's just being that consistent powerhouse.
Yeah. You get a bigger dice to check on the better table for better results.
Oh god, crits in DCC, they're so good.
Yeah, they have been pretty satisfying. Even though I'm not playing a warrior, just like witnessing a warrior crit is pretty, it's really satisfying.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be a warrior, just anything.
Oh yeah,
crits, and then rolling that crit dice and then getting the results is just like, it's, and I'm just having that meme you posted on like D&D memes coming into my head. Just like, what was it? Like about the giant critting or whatever, doing extra damage.
Yeah, the giant crits are hilarious.
Giant crits are nuts.
But yeah, I really like that. So part of DCC, again, is that there's nothing left to pull away. So there's got lots of very low ACs and low hit point things. Like, I think was it Del in the one shot? She just couldn't fail killing things when she hit them.
Oh yeah, there was this big fat lizard being ridden by a smaller lizard, not bigger. How would you ride something if you were bigger? There was big fat lizard being ridden by a smaller lizard person, and they were coming at me big time with a real angry look on their face. I was just like, I want to shoot them with my bow, so they stop coming at me. And it was like, I rolled so good that I just straight up killed them.
I think you failed the deed, but otherwise, yeah, you failed the deed to like trip them off, but because you just rolled a deed dice, that and whatever you would actually roll on the bloody damage dice was enough. It was just gone.
Just like, I will get you to turn around, my beast. Yeah, so just explodes their head.
Third edition and fifth edition both do crits similarly, but with minor differences. But basically, it works out as doubling or multiplying all the damage. So you do your big spike damage, and that goes back to what we were saying about the paladin as well. Whereas DC, lower ACs and lower hit points, it doesn't give you a massive spike in damage. It'll give you something cool, basically just an accidental deed. And this works for everyone, really. And I was reading some of them just a little bit ago. One of them was like, one of the higher ones was, you as a warrior, you strike someone so hard in the chest that they get an extra 2d8 damage, and I think they're winded or something.
Nice.
And that's like a level one or a level two, like level one possible warrior thing. And then don't know, without rolling, just say a result on a 2d20.
7.
The foe is entangled on your weapon, reducing his AC by 6 while caught, and you get another attack.
Nice.
So that's something dynamic that's happening in the fight.
Yeah. It's like, it's even better than like just getting extra damage. I like how it sort of tells you almost what happens to just, and makes it clear and gives you like a very sort of dynamic picture in your head. Whereas when you crit in maybe like an up with like other systems, like it's often just like, oh, the DM sort of decides how this is better than what normally happens. Like, what does this damage represent? And it's like, that's fun. That's fun improv. But there's also something nice there about the book just sort of being like, this is what happens, and this is how it looks and how awesome it is.
Improv included.
Yeah.
Because there's a few of them which are like, you trip an opponent or you hit them in critical organs or whatever. And some things don't have critical organs. Some things don't.
Like an ooze.
What I tend to do is I just sort of move up or down one from the result, or I'll just think of something thematic in it. But for 99% of the time, if you run up to an orc, you can trip that guy and stab him in the liver. It's doable.
So I just imagine
it's a delivery.
Oh, Faith.
Hey,
I got gutted by that.
I'm if honestly, we don't make at least one pun, it's not a good episode.
I'm honestly just imagining like the literal, just like the Monty Python thing of running at someone with the orc. You know, that would scene be where he's like running over the mountain and they just see him coming for them. It's like, oh, you're running at him. And then it's just like, oh, you rolled a crit. The foe is entangled in your weapon.
I'm just trying to think here. Did we cover everything we wanted to cover, I guess, is the question now.
I think we did. Because, I mean, that's pretty much it. After you've got through past the deeds, which are the absolute bread and butter, the backbone of the warrior class, the rest of it's just really nice dressing. Like, one of my favorite things about it, after the deed dice, is the fact that warriors uniquely add their level to their initiative. Because they are there on the fight. They are the first to react. So you get to, level 5, and you're adding 5 to your initiative just because you were a warrior.
I quite like this. This isn't really a mechanics thing. I just sort of like how you can very easily play basically every single traditional archetype within just the warrior. Like, you can easily be like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna be like a monk style thing. So I'm not gonna wear armor. So my fumbles are gonna be like a D4. So that's no issue. And yeah. I'm going to 2-weapon fight with my fists. So
I
there
would
allow
it happily, yeah.
Yeah, there's your monk. And then barbarian. You don't need to wear armor. Once again, the benefit being that your fumbles are basically just non-existent. Mm-hmm. And you can just run around with a great sword as your lucky weapon. And there you go. There's the archetypal barbarian. Or you just want to be like a fighter with a sword and shield. You can just as easily just do that with the warrior. It's great.
So we hit all of our bullet points, and we had some fantastic tangents and a solid pun that was not DiGiorno. It was delivery.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. I had to throw it in twice. It was just that bad. I mean, good.
Oh, it's good. It's always good.
It came from the bowels of hell.
Yes. There we go.
Yeah, so I think this was really successful, having MJ on.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, it was great having you. I enjoyed chatting.
Absolutely. Like in fact, MJ and I think now need to away to go play a game that I'm not entirely sure how late we're to.
I mean, it's fist. It will be fine.
Yeah. All right.
We can literally just drop out the sky if we want to. It's more just problem for us for not organizing properly.
So
yeah, sorry to Thompson when we get there.
Yeah,
closing thoughts.
Yeah,
okay. DCC good.
The final words of MJ.
So until next time, everybody,
keep adventuring, trust the dice, and have fun.
Heck yeah. Bye.
Ciao. If you would like to play DCC or any other roleplay game that we mention in this podcast, get in contact with us at Twitter at GrumpyDeck or find our Discord link in bio and pinned comment.
Special thanks to Reichelt for sprucing up our cute little logo and to Tim from TabletopAudio.com for our intro and outro music. We hope you enjoyed this episode and we will see you next time.